I'm on a mission to cut through the noise and the nonsense to bring you the very best information from the most authentic spiritual experts on the planet. Reuben Langdon, welcome. How are you
Hello.
Doing?
Hello, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. So, you're an actor. You are the host of the series Interviews with EDs, and you're also, would you say, an activist or an educator, or how would you describe yourself?
I used to wear that hat, the activist hat, until I really understood, until I started doing my show and started hearing these messages about and understanding about energy and frequency and vibration and how fighting against something actually just propels that energy. So now I've taken that activist hat off, and now I just try to be aware and maybe an educator or a inspirer. I don't know. I won't take the activist hat anymore. That's that one. I retired that one a while back.
Okay, fantastic. So your show, Interviews with EDs, it came out in 2015. I think, and I know a lot of other people think this, that it's done a lot to move consciousness forward collectively, sort of energetically. Would you agree with that? So maybe
I would hope so. I guess it is getting a bigger audience now, but I'm really not sure the numbers. I don't have access to the exact numbers of who's all watching it across the world. I guess you caught it, so yeah. That's a good thing. but I would hope, yes, that anything of that type of thing would feed positive vibes into the collective consciousness. That's in a sense why I started it. So that was one of my goals, was to have a positive influence, a positive message. Specifically about the ET reality, that we have so much media content out there that sort of puts it in a negative image, or a little bit of a negative spin. Even when they're trying to be positive, they're like, ooh, maybe it's we don't know what it is, you know? And it's like, come on, guys, we know what it is. After all the research and the evidence and everything else, we know what it is.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be a Debbie Downer on all this stuff? Yeah. So that was my goal, was to have a positive message. Obviously, the messages coming through the channel material is positive, but also just to say, hey, there's another story to all this. Outside of the mainstream, or my fellow colleagues in the ufology reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when did you know that you were going to do this? Was it like a divinely inspired idea, or were you just kind of planning it and thinking about it, or how did it happen?
Well, in 2013, I produced an event called the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure, which was a 5-day event at the National Press Club. It was a mock congressional hearing with 6 former members of Congress and over 40 witnesses, mostly government and military witnesses, to testify to these Congress members that, and to the public, that we are being engaged by an extraterrestrial presence. And it went on for 5 days. We had all the big heavy hitters in ufology there, Stanton Freeman, who's no longer with us, but he's one of the big powerhouses in that world of research and ET research. Richard Dolan, Lytton and Moulton Howe, many, many well-known researchers, many experiencers and government officials who have had experiences in records within the military records and documents from around the world. Including two airmen from the Bentwaters case, which you had there in England in the early 80s. So I put that on, and I was hanging around these people for quite some time leading up to that, hearing all of these different stories, getting to know about the UFO topic even more, and trying to comprehend it all, trying to digest it, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And the more I put the pieces together, the more I realized this phenomenon obviously is real, but is a positive phenomenon.
Right.
I think the interpretation of it can, from abductees and things, can be a negative one. But that's just an interpretation. When you look at the evidence, 99% of the time, there is nothing but positivity that comes from this experience.
Yeah.
Even in the scary abduction scenarios, some people were terrified. But when you look at the big picture, they're being put back. And sometimes rare diseases are being cured. They're getting advice and information about different types of worldviews that they wouldn't have been exposed to, that down the road have a positive impact. So I really wanted to hone in on that, because up until that time, and even in a citizen hearing, even though most of the researchers and ufologists would agree that this is a positive thing, and that humanity awakening to its cosmic family is going to be tumultuous through a lot of, you know, paradigm shifts and people having to release religious beliefs and these kinds of things, and economics and the world, all that stuff is going to be rough to get through. But on the other side, everybody agrees it's going to be a positive thing. But our media and our documentaries on the subject, everything seems to have this negative spin.
Yeah. Fear.
Talking about it. Fear with something like, it's like, ooh, it's mysterious. It's fear, but not mysterious in a like, ooh, it's mysterious. Let's find out what it is.
Yeah.
Ooh, I want to know. It's mysterious. And maybe there are demons, and maybe they're going to come and suck your baby's blood. You know, that they always put that kind of spin on it, on everything from ancient aliens to, and again, all of these shows have done huge, awakenings for people, just to understand that the fact that we might be visited, or that we are being visited, so dropping those breadcrumbs for people to follow to understand the phenomenon. I'm hugely grateful for all of the media that's out there.
Yeah.
However, for me, I just couldn't be at ease with that that idea, especially after going through all of the interviews and discussions and looking at the evidence and just, you know, looking at it from a logical, sound view. And by that time, I hadn't had any personal experiences other than the sighting in the sky. I hadn't had ET contact, which I've had now. But it just felt, it was just like a knowing that I knew I had to do this. So as I was doing that, I started getting exposed to some of the channeled material. I started seeking it out. And I started seeing that, wow, a lot of these guys have, they're fitting together the missing pieces of this bigger puzzle that I've been researching and putting together. And the things that these people are saying just fit. It just fits like a glove. And as a researcher, I'm like, well, when you deny evidence, when you deny research, no matter, you know, what your worldview is on channeling, and if you think it's crazy, or you know, what the scientific community thinks about it, or if it's not a valid piece of evidence, I think it's valid in the sense that the puzzle pieces fit. Everything they're saying fits with even most of our mainstream science when it comes to quantum physics, mm-hmm. and understanding parallel realities, and where our scientific community is going, it all fits. Everything that they're saying fits. So that's when I sort of got the inspiration to do, I was thinking of doing a feature film back in 2014 is when I started thinking about it. And after I did one interview with Nora Harold, I kept it short. And then I went and interviewed Wendy Kennedy. And it was like an hour and a half. And I said, it was an hour and a half of just juicy nuggets. And I'm like, how do I edit this down to just be a little 5-minute clip to put into a documentary film? I said, I can't do this. It'd be a disservice to humanity to not put it out in its entirety. So that's how this, the show, I was like, okay, it's good. This is going to have to be a TV show. It's going to have to be long format. And I just got to start cranking away on it. And then that's when that adventure started. It was actually in 2014 was when the filming started.
And it's a huge body of work, isn't it?
Now I've got 20, season one, 28 episodes. Season two, I've got 25 episodes and a ton of bonus content of stuff that, you know, that doesn't fit into the show. I just like put it out there on YouTube.
And how do you think you changed as a result of the show? So while you were filming and doing all these interviews, did you notice any changes within you?
Oh, tons. Yeah, this is if anybody doubts the information or doubts what's being said, and this is sort of one of the reasons I put myself in the series, is I'm a living testament that if you take these philosophies or ideas or teachings or whatever you want to call them, and if you integrate them into your life, the quality of life grows exponentially.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a living testament. At the time, because of the citizen hearing, because of a number of things going on at the time, I was actually forced into bankruptcy. I lost my company. I lost my, I was going through lawsuits. It was a really difficult time financially, and my life was changing. I had to uproot. I was getting out of LA. I was personally going through this difficult time, the material really resonated, and I was like, okay, just focus on the material, just keep editing, keep doing the show. And in my spare time, essentially, as a working actor, you really don't work that much. You really work like once a month, but that's enough to get get the essentials and pay the bills, and gave me a lot of free time to work on the series. And as I'm doing that, I'm getting the messages. When I go into the editing process, that's sort of where I really get to digest everything, because on set, so to say, or when I'm doing the interviews, I'm worried about the technical things, the cameras and, you know, this audio, and it's like, get the questions, get it out, and then worry about it later. So I'm trying to be as present as I can in the moment during these interviews, but a lot just flies over my head. A lot what's being said flies over my head, and I don't really grasp it until I'm in the editing room. And then you're editing it over and over and hearing it over and over and over and over and over and over. And it's written, and I'm like, oh, that's what that means. Oh, this is what this means. Oh, okay. This is profound stuff.
Yeah.
every time I go back to it now, I'm doing some re-edits for season one. And I'm just like, what? How did I miss that then? That's like that nugget of juicy, you know, life-changing information. So that's a constant thing with what the show. It's multidimensional in its delivery of information, and it's so dense with information that you can watch it 10 times and get something different from every time that you watch it. So it's going to have a long shelf life, I think.
Yeah. It's like medicine.
For me it has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good medicine.
Yeah.
So for me, yes, it's been a huge transformational experience doing the show, integrating the teachings. You know, just day by day, my affirmations are the teachings from the show, you know, following your excitement, not living with judgment for yourself or others, you know, having forgiveness and compassion and empathy. And, you know, these are, you know, basic things that we learn in any type of, you know, even many religions teach those basic things. But I think in our society, things have gotten, we take a lot of it for granted, and when we don't understand the mechanics that much, we kind of just we're on autopilot, and we do our programmed thing that we've been sort of taught through society. But when you take a step back and you look at every action you're doing through this new lens, then you start making more careful decisions. And careful in the sense that decisions that are going to serve your ultimate goal of what you want in your out of your life and in this physical experience on earth. So by having the awareness of what your actions may, the outcome of your actions could potentially create, you take better care of what actions you take.
And
that's really what I've been doing since following this thread of doing the show and doing, you know, it's been amazing, really.
And what about psychically? Have you opened up psychically? Have you discovered any sort of gifts, or can you channel? Or
I have been able to channel a little bit, and yeah, psychically, I've definitely I'm more in tune with nature, with other people. I can get I don't have any kind of clairaudient or clairvoyant type. I'd be more of kind of a clairsentient, more feelings. So I just listen and pay attention to that, and go with the synchronicities, go with listen to what my body does. I've been a lifelong martial artist, but so I've had, you know, very good body awareness for a long time. But simultaneously, while I'm doing the show, I've been practicing the Wim Hof method and Qigong and Tai Chi, and which is, you know, part of my martial art work, but bringing more focus into that stuff, into the internal arts. So I definitely have been spending a lot more time meditating and finding my own quiet place. I've also been dabbling in plant medicine ceremonies, and going across the veil through that modality, dreams. Like, all of this has been a working together. So yes, the show has been probably the biggest impact, but these other modalities and doing them sort of simultaneously as I'm getting this information, and it's really that's been life-changing. Yeah.
Fantastic. And can you just explain to the audience the difference between ETs and EDs? Is there a difference?
Not really, no. The original title of the show was going to be Interview with ET. And I think it was during my interview, I think this part I didn't release, but during my interview with the Palladians, with Wendy Kennedy, they suggested that I re-term the show ED, Extra Dimensionals. And the reasoning at the time was that it would be a more accurate title for who they are.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what I explore in the show, is we think of ETs as this being from another civilization, on another planet somewhere out there, you know, in the Pleiades star system or wherever. And the more I understand reality and the more I go deeper with the show and ask questions, I don't think it's so simple as that. I think there's a more of a dimensional component to these civilizations that are coming here to visit us. Yes, they are from other civilizations. They do have their own planet, and they are, there's some of them. Obviously, I go deep with my show, and we go into, you know, interviewing much more than just what we would typically term as an extraterrestrial. So like dragons and unicorns, and these things come out too. Season 3, we'll be going into that stuff. So back to your question. So ETs is just a label, a term that we have created societally, and and we think of it as another being, humanoid being from another civilization. Yes, and. So the ED, extra dimensionals, sort of encompasses this bigger idea, because many of these so-called ETs are actually right here on our Earth plane, but just in another dimensional realm. So like Bella says, Gita Rose, who channels Bella, sort of a template overlay, which right. they're actually, the Yael are actually part of our Earth reality. They're, in a sense, humans, but they are in a different dimensional realm, a different vibrational frequency. So they're existing on Earth, but in a different, you could say, timeline or dimension. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. So what do they want with us? What do they want for us? And why?
Yeah. Well, it depends on who you're going to talk to. Meaning, I guess, which race or which being. But the overall general view that I can get, that I can sort of take away, I get from it all, is that as humans, we, using us as a reference point, we take care of animals, we take care of, as we get more better off with our being, you know, comfortable with our ways of living, we want to share, we want the best for other people. We don't want to see suffering in the world. Mm-hmm. We want other people to have homes and the basic essentials. We want our animals, our pets, to have all the love and needs that they want, that they can have, so then they can thrive and be, you know, happy, loving beings, you know, our cats and our dogs and everything. Just in general, I think human nature is to be compassionate and empathetic towards other beings.
Yeah.
So taking it from that, if you have these higher civilizations or other beings that have already been through the evolutionary bumps in the road, so to say,
right.
And they're looking through their dimensional doorway lens and seeing, oh, look at those humans. They're trying really hard, and there's some really good people in there with big hearts, but maybe they need a little assistance. Maybe we can go and give them a little nudge to help them along their evolution a little bit. And I think that's really I don't think they're wanting to get anything from us. I think that's an old paradigm reality that from old society is, you know, there's a give and take sort of thing, which is there, there's definitely give and take, but for them, the love that they can give to us is then given back to them in other ways, or even through our sharing of ideas and sharing of our experiences going through this awakening experience that we're going through here on Earth. So I think just in a nutshell, you know, they just care.
Yeah.
And as we do, you know, as the good people on the planet, we all care for each other and we want to help each other out.
Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So of all of the things that you heard being channeled, what was the hardest thing to get your head around? What was just sort of mind-blowing, difficult at the time to kind of put into context?
Early on, I had this sort of preconceived notion that ETs were real, but the other realities like mermaids and fairies and these things were, you know, those aren't real. You know, those are somebody's just, you know, high or whatever. I don't know what they're talking about. So as I was going deeper into this extra dimensional rabbit hole and learning about the ETs, because that was where my base came from. I had all the evidence. I was talking to all the, you know, the key players and government folks. And so, but as I was getting more of an understanding from the extra dimensional interviews, I started to realize, well, ETs are real, ghosts are real, all of this is real, all of it, like none of it is not real. In fact, if you can imagine it, it exists. And sort of that's a big, like I was already expanding my worldview with the extra dimensional type idea, or extraterrestrial, and then Wendy's extra dimensional. Okay, it's a dimensional phenomenon. Well, what other things are dimensional phenomenon? Oh, unicorns, dragons, they're dimensional. You know, so then it just, like, my worldview just went. And then I was tuning in to these energies, you know, through my meditations and through this. So I was experiencing the dragon. I was experiencing the fairy. I was experiencing the unicorn. Well, a little bit of the unicorn. Well, the unicorn back there.
Oh, yeah.
and I was experiencing these energies and having dialogue and communication and energy exchange with much, much more than just ETs or extra dimensionals from the lens that I had started with. So I guess that would be the biggest thing. It didn't happen overnight. It was definitely something I was like meditating on a lot.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out and understand, you know, and along with that goes the hybrid children,
right?
That phenomenon. And really trying, that was a little bit easier to grasp because I had been in the evidence-based extraterrestrial reality, hanging out with, you know, these key researchers in the ufology world. And there is a lot of testimony from people who have been on the ships and meeting with their kids. So that was actually already a little bit, like I had that nugget.
Yeah.
But understanding the phenomenon, how to wrap your head around it, having, when you can start accepting all of these other things, it's easier to wrap your head around that one.
Can you just briefly explain that to me? Sorry, the hybrid children. So what if you just to sum it up for anyone that's not heard of that?
Right. So many, many people, including myself, have had experiences where they're connecting either in the dream state or in meditation, or have had contact with these beings that appear to be humanoid, but just slightly off, and they are children. And what has happened in many of the mainstream folks, mainstream ufology, they have talked about, like Whitley Strieber back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of the abduction phenomenon, John Mack and his work, regressing thousands and thousands of people, Barbara Lamb regressing thousands and thousands of people, and many, many people have had these experiences where they've been on ships, they've had genetic material taken in the form of eggs from women or sperm from men, and then that material being taken and applied to these hybridization programs.
Right.
And it sounds freaky, it sounds scary, it's like, oh my God, how can I be taken against my will? I go into a lot of that in my show, I won't go into that now, but in a sense, there has been civilizations created with our DNA, human DNA, mixed with ET DNA for different purposes, different agendas. Mostly, in fact, I think all of it is benevolent in the sense that they always put us back. They take us, they put us back here so we can continue our lives. And they try to, you know, be as easy as they can, they know how. Some of these beings that were doing this, the so-called grays back in the day, didn't have an emotional spectrum like we have when it comes to compassion and these kinds of things. Very logical based civilization. So for them, from their perspective, they're doing it out of love and compassion for their race and also to help us. And that's where you get these diseases spontaneously being healed and these other benevolent type things happening during that period when they're being taken and back and forth. So they're, anyways, that's sort of the hybridization programs. And now these, so that was in the 60s, all the way from the late 60s to, let's say, the 90s, late 90s, this phenomenon was happening quite a bit. And now people are interacting with their children that were created from these experiments. And they're getting information and having dialogue with many parents are having dialogue with their children.
Amazing. Okay.
It sounds way out there, but there's a lot of people and evidence for this phenomenon.
And it's always too hard to imagine, but you know, when so many people were sort of saying this and reporting on these experiences, you kind of have to say, okay, there's something to this.
And when you look at the collective evidence, so I explore it in my show with just the dialogue and the conversation, but we're talking, if you look at, you know, again, I just said John Mack, his work, the late John Mack, he's no longer with us, but Barbara Lamb, Yvonne Smith, these are people who regress people who have had so-called abduction experiences or these types of things. And we're talking several thousand. There's like there's a saying that's maybe 1 in 5 or 1 in 10 people have actually been on a ship.
Amazing. Yeah.
When you look at the numbers, yeah.
Have you ever experienced anything like that? So you said you've had ET contact. Have you ever had one of those experiences or had something similar or?
I have no conscious memory of being on a ship, but I have gotten to the point where I have memory of blacking out just before going on the ship, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I can't really say, okay, I blacked out and then I went on the ship. I don't know. But I've had the remembering of the something coming.
Yeah.
And then blacking out. And then having that clear sentient knowing that, okay, that's what was going on.
Yeah.
Like the energy was so intense, or my body short-circuited in the sense that it couldn't handle what was happening. So that's what happens. And I think we shut down a lot of our stuff. And I'm sure if I got regressed and went into that reality, I'm sure I could probably get some good stuff. I've been regressed in the show. I regressed myself, or Barbara Lamb regressed me in order to channel.
Yeah.
Which was like an idea that I had. So that happened. I guess I should have gone and gotten regressed for the full ET experience. But part of me likes the mystery. I like to keep it, in a sense, not about me in a sense, like I want to get these different nuggets. Well, let me say this. So I've been in contact with my hybrid kid.
Right. Okay.
This was years ago after I did the interview, and this was in meditation. He came to me and he told me that, don't worry, you don't have to believe in me. And if you don't, I'm not going to die.
Okay.
That was sort of the specific wording that he said. And I think it was because at the time I was trying to understand, can I align with this reality? It's so far out there. It's so crazy. And is it going to, you know, is this a positive thing or a negative thing? And I'd look at it, no matter which way I looked at it, it looked as a positive thing. But one of the things he said is like, I will always exist on the other side of the veil. I will always exist whether you choose to interact or acknowledge or anything like that. And if you do or if you don't, there's no judgment or there's no negative impact if I choose not to go into that reality for his reality. Like his reality is going to go on. It's going to be great things and all, whatever it is. So and this is when I started really understanding quantum physics and the double slit experiment and the observer effect, and all potentials exist on the other side of the veil.
Mm-hmm.
And until you choose to observe them, we break down the the slits become, you know, the wave collapses into a particle.
Yeah.
So in a sense, he's basically saying, I'm just a potential reality in your many branches, your forks in the road reality. And if you choose to believe in me, so be it. If you don't, so be it. Either way, it's that reality does exist. It's not that it doesn't exist. It exists. And it's just a potential reality that I could focus on. So I feel that by right now, not fully focusing on this, being taken on the ships and stuff. I know for sure I have. I mean, even the ETs that I interview, they say, oh yeah, you've.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
I'm like, well, how does that work? And they're like, yeah, you go willingly.
Yeah, we
took
you.
You're not one to, we've taken you, we've taken your DNA and we've done all that. And I'm like, all right, well, thanks guys. Thanks for telling me about that. You know, could you be a little more specific? And you know, they're like, no, that's for you to understand. And they leave it open like that. So for us individually, so we can decide whether that's a reality we want to go into or not. Because depending on the psyche of the person who wants to venture into that reality, especially me, I have sort of this obsessive compulsive, focus where I would like just go into it, you know, and I think I'm in a sense blocking those memories for myself so I can stay more present now and then go through and uncover in my investigative journalist way. And then I get to pick the one that I like the best.
Right.
You know, I like that one. Let's go there. I think I just haven't found the one that I like the best.
Okay.
And that's why those memories are blocked out. I know I'm being really wishy-washy here, but hopefully making some sense. Okay.
And do you, so the hybrid child, the being there, do you communicate? You sort of block to the memory, but do you have a relationship like, does that being act as a guide to you? Is there dialogue there?
Not now. It was just in that time when I did the interview and was shown him through interviewed Bridget Nielsen, and she drew him out. And then, for me at that time, I was like, okay, I was still kind of this whole, it was still early on in the series. And I'm like, okay, is this real? Is this not, trying to understand it. And at the time I got the downloads, and it was really just perfect. And I had a couple of exchanges, I should say, a couple of times when he came to me in meditation.
Yeah.
And then I kind of said, you know what? I don't think I'm ready for this right now. I think we're cool. I appreciate the, information. We'll bump into each other later down the road, maybe.
Yeah.
But right now I got to go focus over here. I've got other things to do. So thank you very much. And he went away, and I haven't seen him since.
That's really interesting. Okay. So can you give me some examples of things that we can learn about the nature of reality or consciousness?
Well, you said it all is consciousness. And this is, I think, the hiccup the scientific community has and why so many things don't fit. In our, we have these missing pieces to so many things in our scientific community, and many scientists are starting to actually accept the idea that consciousness is the glue that brings all this together. And as soon as you do, it all fits. Yeah. It's like, why guys are you trying so hard when the most obvious is the Occam's razor, right? The most obvious thing is right there in front of you and you're not looking at it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of agendas behind that, for certain whatever, but the ones who choose to look at consciousness and integrated that into the scientific reality, it connects the dots for everything. So all is consciousness. Everything is alive in a sense. When we can connect to all that there is, all things, all beings, all consciousness, and we can start to have a dialogue with that, then we will our evolution as human beings will shoot through you know, another reality. And we're starting to do that. Many of us are starting to come to the realization that there are things in nature that we can communicate with, that the planet is alive, that our cats and dogs are sentient, and that they can communicate with us, and we can communicate with them. There's different levels to that, and but we all collectively are starting to come to that realization, and I think that's the one of the biggest things I've learned from the teachings, is that's just the way it is. And when we accept that collectively as a human race, we will accelerate our evolution so fast, because now we're not just, right now we're just sharing ideas and technologies and thoughts and ideas through ourselves. Now there's a heavy influence of these other consciousnesses coming through us, but we're kind of accepting as like, oh, a human did this. And a human did that.
Yeah.
Very cognitive. It's very what we can see right here. Mm. And a human did that. And then we're not acknowledging the inspiration that we're getting from these other dimensional realms. The trees, spirits, the fairies, the other elementals that we can connect to in nature. Or the unicorns or the dragons, like these are all energies that we have in our stories, but we pretend that they don't exist. We pretend that they're make-believe. We pretend that they're in some sort of magical fairy tale, but that's not our reality.
Yeah.
The moment we start to say, yes, that is our reality, those things do exist. We can be in dialogue with a dragon if we choose to. And then we can get and share that knowledge and that wisdom without barriers, without blockages, and then start integrating those teachings into our beingness, whether it's an individual or collectively. And some individuals are doing this work, and I'm proud to be one right now. And it's life changing. The information, the views and the ways we can see the world through this new lens, it's really going to accelerate us as human beings.
And when do you think that will happen? So, you know, in our
it's happening. Line,
you know, when we reach this sort of critical mass where it's accepted.
You know, that there's no, one of the things also I've learned is that there are multiple timelines, that there you can never really predict when anything is going to happen or not happen or anything like that. We have an election coming up here in the United States in a couple of days. It could go either way. Nobody knows what's going to happen, right? Yeah. There's a lot of predictions and these kinds of things. And that's really the truth. So if anybody ever tells you a date or tells you this thing is going to happen at this time, or, you know, walk the other direction, because the only thing that is true is right now in this present moment.
Yeah.
And we're creating it as we go along. So individually and collectively. So there's so many components that these different consciousnesses have to merge and mix and meld and do different things for this reality to manifest in this way. So nobody knows. It's too, the variables are too beyond anything we can, even our advanced AIs. Yeah, even advanced AIs, they're gonna get better at it, but they're not gonna, it's impossible to predict the future.
Yeah, okay.
Accurately. You can get a sense of the energy. You can get a sense of what, oh, okay, based on this frequency and the vibration and the energy, oh, I think this could happen, but there are no definites, I guess.
Yeah. And there's free will as well, isn't there, with people? So you could say, oh, this will happen, this will happen, and
absolutely.
Then free will comes in and they, you know, maybe don't act on something that they feel intuitively, and it moves, it changes.
So. Totally.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Does it bother you that there are people that still refuse to accept this stuff?
it frustrates me a little bit. But part of the teachings is to come to terms that everybody's on their own journey. Mm-hmm. You know, that everybody has their own timeline, that everybody has their own process. I had my process. I'm sure, you know, 20 years ago when I'm running around trying to be an action star in Hollywood and, you know, being probably stepping on people's toes I didn't know I was stepping on, I'm sure there was a lot of people that were looking at me and like, who is this young punk kid, you know, doing this thing? When is this guy going to wake up, you know? So, and I was oblivious to them, or maybe not, you know. I started trying to pay attention as much as I could, but luckily nobody, a few times you get out of line and people set you straight, and that's a good thing. But, you know, many times people tried to set me straight and I was just too immersed in my own, you know, BS or whatever. I look at it now as BS, but at the time it was like so serious. Like, this is it. I've got to do this, you know, and you power through everything. And people are like, hey, maybe you should take a break. And, you know, just, no, you know, so, you know, that's the reality that a lot of people are in. And you really can't tell people what to do or think or how they should act or whatever. You just got to, you know, be that shining example that Gandhi says, yeah. And Mary says, be the shining example you want to see in others. And just know that there'll be a time when things will align and mm-hmm. people will see it or they won't. And then there's no judgment if they don't.
Yeah.
Because that path of exploration in their reality is a valid path. My path is valid. Their path is valid. I'm just simply offering an alternative to that path that's maybe a little less destructive, a little more loving, a little more, to say that my path is better than that path. I don't know what that person, what that soul, that being, what their evolutionary goals are, how they want to develop and where they want to seek to go into, what consciousness, you know, wants. Consciousness has, like you said, a free will to go anywhere it wants. And it, for me to say that mine is better than that one is, that's being egotistical. That's being, you know, again, that's how we've gotten to a lot of problems we've gotten into on this planet, is to say that my way is better than your way.
Yeah.
So yes, absolutely. Everybody's on their own journey. and it's frustrating, yes, because I know and I've experienced ways where a lot of these issues that people are dealing with don't exist. But it's not for me to tell them. And if I'm part of that reality and I get sucked in, then that's an opportunity for me to reflect on myself, to say, okay, why am I now in this reality? And not blame that person mm-hmm. for sucking me in, but blaming you know, understanding, okay, there's a reason why I'm sucked into this reality. It, you know, let's say, for example, I'm in the middle of let's say some of these riots and things that are going on. If I'm there, if I just happen to find myself there, I'm like, okay, well, what do I have to get out of this? There's obviously my soul, the orchestrators, the mantis beings, whatever you want to call them, are making, the angels, have orchestrated things in synchronicities in my life for me to be at this moment, at this place, at this riot or whatever that's going on. So then I can reflect and use that to say, okay, what here is, what tools can I get from this to better my evolution, to either get out of there right away, or maybe there's something else going on. Who knows? And you follow those threads, you follow those synchronicity threads, and you trust that there are no accidents, that everything does happen for a reason, and that and I believe the reason these things happen is because our deeper conscious wants to expand and grow and learn from these experiences.
Yeah, just go through the experience and not attaching to the fear as well, isn't it? That's important, isn't it? To if you find yourself,
unless fear is your thing.
Yeah.
a lot of people really dig fear. I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love fear in the sense of, going on a roller coaster or, doing stunts. I was doing in the stunt world for many years. So, standing on that high point and you're about to jump off and, whether you have a wire on or no wires. And it's like that feeling, I'm putting myself in that very dangerous situation. And I just last year I was in Guatemala filming a documentary and I got shot at point blank. So instead of like blaming the guy, why did I get shot at? Just realizing that, oh, I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie and I put myself in this dangerous situation. For what reasons? And I'm still unpacking that, it's many years later, or a year later, I'm still sort of meditating on that and getting different downloads and getting information. So I think fear is good. Fear can lead us and guide us in many ways. Bashar says this and many others. I would say what the world doesn't need, the emotion that kind of pulls us in a downward spiral that really is not useful at all, is guilt.
Yeah.
And to be guilty for an act, something you did, or to be ashamed, or to believe something and, I shouldn't go there because people might judge me. That is, I think, the true evil on the planet is, mm-hmm. is this emotion we have called guilt. Fear is useful. We can use fear.
If you could have a little snoop around anywhere, go into somewhere, maybe put some evidence up your jumper, where would you choose with regards to sort of UFOs and ETs? Is there anything you think, I know there's some evidence there, that if I could just get my hands on it, that'd be so interesting?
Like an Area 51 kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Where do I know there's evidence? There might be something at S4, Area 51, but there's been so much hype over the years. I think they've probably moved most of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be nice to go hang out in some of these, military base hangars and go sit inside a UFO. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Los Alamos labs, they've got a lot of different things. I don't even think most of the people there know what they have, because it's given to them under different guises. They say, oh, this is a new experimental thing that the military is working on.
Right.
And they don't tell them it's ET material.
Yeah.
or coming from another civilization. So the people working on it are just like, oh, this is the latest, greatest military thingamajig. So I don't know. If one chooses to look, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's in front of us. We're talking to each other with alien technology right now.
Yeah.
This has been, since the Roswell crash in 1947, the advancements in our technology have gone light years exponentially in a direction, in a specific direction. Why? Well, it came from somewhere, fiber optics, the silicon chip, all of these things came out right after 1947, the Roswell crash, laser technologies. So it's there. Obviously that's kind of a cop-out, I guess, with their current technologies, but there are people with free energy devices. If you've seen the movie Thrive 2 just came out, Foster Gamble. I've explored personally some of these free energy devices. I've seen them.
Right.
I've witnessed them power things off grid for a long time. It is possible to create energy outside of the current paradigm. That is for sure. And we know this just by observing the UFOs flying in the sky. We know there's something else propelling them that's outside of the typical combustion rocket engine, whatever. They're blipping in and out. So something's there. And that's why I think that the ET story has been suppressed for so long, is mostly when it comes to energy and our understanding of physics and the sort of the story that's been put on the human population, that we can only extract and get energy in these very limited ways that we've been told. And we're waking up to the fact that that's not true.
Yeah. And I think, you know, maybe they're trying to work out how to monetize it. So energy's always been a massive driver, hasn't it, for
exactly
capital. And it's,
yeah, I was,
it's free. They can't, you know, they can't.
Yeah, that was a big thing for me. I was developing a couple of times. I was developing a TV show around free energy devices, and I kept getting it to the top of the big media companies, and then it would get squashed at the top. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I said, okay, there's something. We can't go about it this way. I mean, for me, just the idea of knowing that a free energy device exists, it sort of red pilled me to then put me on a spiritual path, yeah, that got me on these other directions. But it kind of has to happen simultaneously, or even, like you said, we have to demonetize the world in order for these devices to come out. Because when we're in such a paradigm of, you know, money and hierarchy and power and these kinds of things, then in a sense, these energy devices just can't exist. Yeah. They don't work in that paradigm. They're combative in a sense that this one, if this came out, it's a threat. In fact, that was the name of my show, was Disruptive Technologies. And I was seeing how just the resistance of acceptance from that reality. So took a step back, and then that's when I focused on Interview with Ed. So I'm hoping that show can then educate people, shift the consciousness, so we can get out of this competitive world and more into a share-based reality, mm, where we're more open, like open source technology, you know. And we're seeing this with advents of, you know, Airbnb and Uber and these kinds of things. And the more that perpetuates and keeps going, yeah, then we can get out of the highly competitive, mine is mine, and, you know, there's no sharing. Yeah. And Tesla is doing a great job with where they're headed in the direction they're headed with cars and how we use cars and everything else. So we're getting there. We're moving slowly, but that's why things are so interesting right now, because we're moving into this new paradigm and the old paradigm is collapsing, and there's a lot of people struggling and trying to hang on to that old reality. And that's why we're having riots in the streets. It's not because of Black Lives Matter or because of a lot of the things that we're being told in the media. The riots are happening because the paradigms are collapsing.
Yeah.
And there's different agendas and groups that are trying to hang on to that old paradigm, and they're doing things in deviant ways most of the time to try to hang on to that.
Yeah.
And that's where we get this push pull and the polarity and all this stuff is happening. So just being an observant of that, and to see that we are truly moving in another direction, that it's not about the polarity. There's this third way that's happening that we're all moving towards. And just to focus on that, and that other stuff will eventually, people will just eventually get tired,
yeah,
and have to stop playing the polarity game, because it's a tiring game.
And this is the year to do it. Let's face it. If you're gonna... If there's ever a better time, do it now. Yeah.
If you're, you know, if those who are listening who are still playing the polarity game, let me just say, there is limitations to that game.
Yeah.
And there's winners and there's losers. And in this other new game that we're developing over here, this third reality, there are no winners, there are no losers. You have the free will to explore whatever you wish. We have an abundance of energy and technology to feed the world. And all you have to do is just get out of that polarity paradigm.
Yeah, absolutely. So if everybody managed to do that, what do you think life would look like on Earth? You know, if everybody...
Oh, man.
How different would the planet be, you know?
What we have, one of the great science fiction stories and tools we have to get us as close to that paradigm within our current paradigm, I believe, is Star Trek.
Yeah.
And that is still a very limited viewpoint of what it could be. I think that's because we're looking at it through our current lens, but they do address a lot of the issues like money, warp drive technologies. You know, they do a lot to get us, to help us view the reality through our current paradigm, but through a new lens, through a new paradigm. And this is why Star Trek back in the 60s was such a godsend, so to say, was because they addressed, interracial, love. They addressed, suppression of technologies. They addressed all kinds of different cultures and different things. It was a very for the time in the 60s. And then now we have the version of Star Trek where they're addressing these new ideas and things that are kind of so-called issues in our current society. They do a great job of that, but that's as far as we can imagine. Like for most people, like that's science fiction and that's not even attainable. That is attainable within our lifetimes.
Mm. Yeah.
The Star Trek reality is attainable in our lifetimes. And I'm going to say even beyond that.
Yeah.
Where we can be flying around in spaceships, interacting with other beings from other dimensions. But let's add another layer to that. The next layer onto that Star Trek doesn't, again, Star Trek is only exploring the connection to the ET realms.
Yeah.
Now in Star Trek, they're not talking to fairies. They're not talking to dragons. They're not talking to the unicorns. They're not talking to the mermaids.
They're not doing that. Yeah.
Well, I know, but now imagine Star Trek. Imagine a Star Trek. So like Star Trek with Lord of the Rings. I'm trying to think what other.
Star Trek with fairies.
Avatar.
Yeah.
The film Avatar, you know, integrating the home tree, and they're talking to, they have, you know, the tribes there that are talking to the plants, those things. So imagine all of that in one reality. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going, because all of it does exist, and we have these great science fiction nuggets, breadcrumbs to show us that it does exist.
Yeah.
And all we have to do is be open to these ideas and stop pushing it away as science fiction and just start connecting to what we have here now, which here now in this reality, we have so much that we can connect to. I can walk in my backyard and I can go talk to fairies. I can go look at the insects and connect to that insectoid reality. I can, there's the birds and the cats. And these are all connections. These are all wormholes that if we choose to put our focus there, energies and consciousness that can connect us to these other realms.
Yeah. Yeah. So just moving away from, the polarity and just embracing that. And I think these science fiction things drop in deliberately, don't they? Just to massively expand, how we're thinking. And
totally.
Yeah. So do we have much control of our destiny then? Do you think, we kind of just answered this, but how much control do we have and how much of it is down to these other forces coming in, these energies, these other beings that are trying to help us,
Yeah, this is one I've spent a lot of time meditating on, because we're constantly told in the New Age communities that we're creating our own reality, that we're creators of our own reality. And to one extent, yes, this is true. And I would say it's very true. It's probably that it's more true than it's not. But what we get caught up on is that I can have the $1 million house, and I can drive the boat, and I can, I'm creating my reality, so I can, have all the money and infinite abundance. And abundance is the key, but the label of the boat, the house, these things is what we get caught up on. So how we create a reality is, the way I perceive it is, all these realities already exist. Again, if you can imagine it, it exists. So how do I get to the, let's better say this, how do I get to the reality that I'm imagining? And because that's how we create a reality, and we reverse engineer our way back from that. Because most people just think, we're not given the tools of how to create the reality, and we're just told, you recreate a reality, and let me imagine it in, and I'll poof.
Yeah.
Well, not really, not in this reality. The reality we are in, we must accept. And that's the first level of creating your reality, is accepting your current reality. And then looking at the mechanisms of how you got into your current reality, and what mechanisms are serving the future imagination reality. So the reality that you hold in your future, let's say that's the reality I want to create. Now, what am I doing now in my day-to-day life that doesn't serve that reality? So by eliminating those non-serving things, they may be serving you now in this moment, but always having that goal, that idea of that ultimate reality that I want to create in mind, keeping that in mind and not getting overwhelmed, because it may not happen now or tomorrow or the next day. It may take 10 years, it may take 20 years, it may take 2 months, who knows? But having that focus and living in your current reality and saying, okay, in that future reality, this ultimate reality that in my imagination I want to create, what aspects of that are in my reality now?
Yeah.
And then focusing there. What aspects of that reality there, in my reality now, are not there? And then cutting those cords for those things that aren't in that other reality. So it's a process of elimination, in a sense, yeah, of addition and elimination. So you're looking at the things that you have in your current reality that are contained in that future reality, and putting your focus there. Just by default, the more you put your focus there, these other things that aren't serving that reality will just fall to the wayside.
Yeah.
So you don't have to focus, oh, I've got to get rid of that thing, you know?
Yeah.
That thing will just kind of naturally, because the more you focus on getting rid of that thing, the more that thing's going to show up in your reality. Yeah. So you have to, in a sense, just accept that thing is in your reality for a reason. Look at the reason until you realize that, oh, I don't need that in my reality anymore, And then, okay, I'll focus over here now. And then again, focusing on the aspects of your current reality that contain this future ultimate reality. And the more you do that is how you actually create the reality. The more you move into the reality that already exists for you, that is there. Now, big part of all of this that a lot of people forget is integrity. And what is integrity? Integration. Integration of what is now, here, now. And when things and people and circumstances and elections and, ways of banking and all this stuff starts to show up in your reality, it may not be this dream reality that you've had, that you have Don't stop focusing there. Continue to focus there. But when these other things show up, don't push them away. Look at them. Ask, why is this showing up in my reality? Maybe there's something there that could make this vision of this reality even better. Maybe there's a tool or something, because it's there. I cannot ignore that it's there. I could, but that would be a disservice to the person that's introducing it to this reality. I'm definitely co-creating with people, my neighbors, you know, the internet here. We're all co-creating this reality. So to push that away would be a disservice to the universe that's bringing you that chunk, that nugget, that information, that, like I said, that way of banking, or that new piece. And that's what this is constantly, what we're doing here is we're integrating these new pieces. We're letting go of the old pieces. We're focused on the dream. And it's this constant flow of energy that's, you know, this the figure eight that's constantly integrating all of this stuff. And it doesn't happen so like a snap of the fingers. Not yet. We're not in Bewitched world yet. But as we follow these nuggets, as we follow the breadcrumbs and go towards this reality that we all want right here, this one, and a lot of this is already here now.
Yeah.
And we just have to focus there. And the more we focus there, and the more we acknowledge, oh, that's cool. It's not really going to fit in my thing. I'll let that one go, you know, and we just keep moving forward, focusing here, which is also here. They're one and the same, because a lot of the components that are here are actually here right now. So we just keep focusing there and not be in denial of these other things. Oh, they're there too. Yes, yes, I see them, but I'm not going to feed them.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give them energy, because that's only going to take away from this reality that I'm trying to exist right here, or my dream, you know. If they, especially if they come up and they really get loud in your reality, then you have to take, okay, why is this now so loud? Why? And this is where we pit, you know, a lot of body health neglects. Come from us not this reality. I think a lot of the stuff and a lot of sickness is just our body saying, hey, pay attention. There are these aspects in your life that you're putting this desire where you want to go before you're putting this. And that's part of the integrity, integrating what your body is clearly the vessel that's putting you through this reality.
Yeah.
That you're using to experience all of this with. So when you start neglecting aspects of your reality, a lot of times they manifest in different ailments with your body. So you can then go back and reintegrate those parts.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, not paying attention to this aspect of your reality, so your body will tell you. So listen to your body. And other things, you know, relationships, you know, with different people and different things. A lot of the times, though, we get in relationships that we think we're stuck in, but we can actually just cut off tomorrow.
Yeah.
That aren't serving us and not serving this. We're like, oh, well, I kept that. That's not serving this dream reality at all. Why am I keeping that around? Oh, cut that one. And let that one go. But again, do it with integrity.
Yeah, and moving away from that idea of having to learn lessons. You hear this a lot, don't you? So
yeah, there's no lessons. Yeah, there's no
lessons. But you can just say that's not part of the, you know, the reality that I want. And you have to look at it, but
that's it. Totally. Yeah. That's it. And the more we can focus on the reality we want, we'll get there way faster than looking at the reality we don't want. Because so many people are brainwashed in looking at the reality they don't want. And that's where social media has really done a number, I think, on humanity, is because there's this I think we all get, as humans, we get, you know, I hate to say it this way, but we get off on seeing things we don't want, somehow, you know, the violent movies, the crazy news, the terrorist thing, or did you see that explosion, and whatever, you know, and we're always trying to see the things that we don't want. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense.
You have a day where there's not really any bad news. You think, what's going on? There's something weird going on. You know, something's not quite right. You know, we're so used to it. We sort of almost feel
right.
the fear and everything, don't we?
Yeah, it feels good to know that there's chaos everywhere out there, except for my little home right here. This is okay. I'm safe. The rest of the world's crazy, but I'm safe here. You know, well, stop focusing on the crazy world and just focus on your world right now. If you're safe now and you want more safety, just keep focusing there on what you have. And actually, that's been the blessing of COVID is, yes, it is definitely a crazy concept, the idea, the lockdowns, all this stuff. But I think I'll say this as I kind of see it, the nefarious agenda of the lockdowns and COVID has actually done the reverse and woken more people up to the idea that they do create their own reality than any other mechanism we've had in our society in a long time. So this is just a proof in the pudding, so to say, to show physically, if I do choose to look out there in the interwebs in reality, I see nothing but affirmation of how we as a society have chosen the path to create a reality void of oppression and void of hierarchy and these types of things, and moving into a monetary system where money actually doesn't even exist. Because it's so magnified right now, that shows me and that we're moving to a reality that doesn't exist, because so many people are saying that's wrong. That doesn't exist. I don't want that in my life. So, and then the more they say they don't, the more it comes. And then they're no, you know, and eventually we'll get to the point where majority of the people are just like, just done with the, like I said, the polarity game, and just wipe their hands like, okay, this reality is not working anymore. Let's go do something else. And a lot of people are already doing that. I know I'm doing it. I know many people are already doing something else, and they're not part of that. So again, showing me we're there. It's happening.
Yeah. It's amazing. So what's your next big project then? What have you got coming up? What are you working on at the moment?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm working on season 3 with Interview with Ed. And simultaneously, I'm working on a project revolving around the crystal skulls. And that's a big project. It's a big topic to go into right away here. But I will be introducing more of the skulls in my show, which will then sort of lay the foundation for this new feature and series that's revolving around crystal skulls. I think it's for me, it's a fun permission slip, as Bashar would say, to explore these concepts and ideas, and to connect the past to the future in the sense of these ancient artifacts that connect us to our ET realities, which is sort of like the way we see the future, and then combining them in a fun, adventurous package.
Fantastic. And so, you know, just touching on that quickly, with the ancients, they obviously knew a lot more about ETs and EDs than we do now. So do you think we've kind of de-evolved in a way? If we knew what they knew,
We did. And I cover this in my series a lot. So there's these 26,000 year and 13,000 year cycles that the planet has gone through, where these ancient technologies existed, and then sort of we fell. You know, the Tower of Babel fall, the fall of Babel. We have these in our stories and lores, and yes, in a sense, these very advanced technologies, very different than the way we see them now, but very advanced, existed. They still exist, we just aren't privy to it because of the fall we've taken. Yeah. And now we're sort of coming back, remembering, and coming to this nodal point. The way I see these cycles are they're nodal points where the doorways, the gateways open for us to go, you know, we can go down another spiral, or we can go up an octave. It's sort of like octaves in harmonics and music, where it's still the same tone, it's just on a higher octave. And once we get on that higher octave, and that's where we see these overlays of other realities, like I was saying with the Yael and the Bella, and their reality is I think during the fall, when the last fall, or even maybe a couple falls ago, because humanity has fallen a few times, that those other versions of us chose to go on the higher octave. And that's where we can't see them physically, but they're here. They're here in our, sorry, I'm getting buzzed. they're here in our realities, even though it's, oh, that computer's on. See, I got another computer on, I forgot. So that's why they're literally on this planet, but just at a different octave, so we can't see them. Yeah. And now we're at this nodal point where we can choose to go into and integrate into their octave, or into a different octave that's at a close enough frequency to where they exist. So then we can start interacting and that kind of thing. So yes, these ancient technologies, ancient civilizations existed. They still exist. They're just on a different octave.
In a different space. Fantastic. Okay, so where can someone watch interviews with EDs if they've not watched it before? You've got a website?
Yep, interviewwithed.org. So interviewwithed.org. And that will take you to a couple ways you can see it. You can see it on the Gaia network, and there's links there. Or you can see it on Vimeo. I also, so if you don't want to, the Gaia subscription is going to be probably the better deal, because you can just get the month subscription and binge watch everything. I have, you know, a couple packages on the Vimeo where you can buy the whole series, or if you're just interested in checking out one episode, you can do that for like $2.99 or whatever, $3.99.
And I think it's good to take your time to watch it, because like you said before, there's just so much information. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't binge watch it. You have to kind of digest it slowly, don't you? So, yeah.
Or binge watch it and just go back and keep binging.
Yeah.
the never-ending binge. Yes. Totally.
Fantastic. Well, Ruben, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you very much for your time and for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.